Acts chapter 8. This month, I'd like to emphasize missions and looking a little into biblical missions, and as we approach the missions conference coming up, just looking at and considering the biblical mandate there of reaching the entire world and going forth. And we believe that, Lord willing, in the next several years, we'll be able to support many more missionaries than we do right now, and so thankful for the opportunity to do that, and you folks that do give towards our missions account or missions fund there, we're able to send out some support already as a young church, and so thankful, and I truly believe God will bless us because of that and honor that. We know Acts chapter number 8, and this is really the first emphasis and push of missions, if you want to call it that, in the Word of God. And we know Jesus already commissioned us at the end of the gospel to go forth and to reach the entire world. And notice, if you will, it says in chapter 8, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, notice this, went everywhere preaching the word. So this first push here of the people at the church was to go out and to preach the word, just as Jesus said. Now, something interesting that you already have seen probably, but if you haven't, in Acts 1:8, they're told to go out and to reach the world. We read some of that last week, but they didn't do that in particular. A lot of them stayed put. Well, we come to Acts chapter 8, verse 1, the opposite, and here they are. They're being pushed out, literally. God will allow sometimes persecution into our lives and into the church. For what reason? To grow. And those growing pains, you know, if you weren't pushed maybe as a young person to your limit in some type of talent or sport, or some of you kids are learning an instrument. Boy, it's boring sometimes, and it's so redundant, isn't it? It's repetitive, but that's the only way you learn. It's the only way you're going to get calluses on your fingers and other things, right? You think about Jesus, and the Lord will send sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes to a church. I'm thinking about just right now our nation. He's sending some persecution into our nation, some things going on right now for a reason, I believe, to wake up a lot of us, myself included, to wake us up and to get going for the Lord. But think about this morning, do we have a heart for missions? This first message I'd like to bring is the power of missions. It's missions in action. And you notice these people were sitting there, or they were still in Jerusalem. They knew what to do. They were going forth. They loved the Lord. They were serving, but they weren't going forth like they were commanded to. And the persecution came, they fled. And they went everywhere, not staying secret and silent, but everywhere preaching the word. Now, we'll see here a little bit this morning the purpose for missions, the prayer for missions, and the plan for missions. And we'll see it as we go forward. Now, the activity giving. As they go forward, they're active, they're working. We see, and we'll read a little bit later about Philip. Philip goes. Apparently, he was there in the church at Jerusalem, and he's sent down to Samaria. And again, sometimes God will send us places maybe we don't want to go, or talk to people we don't want to talk to. And Philip, as a Jew, you know that, did not want to go to Samaria. They did not. You recall Jesus several years prior went through. He says, I must needs go through Samaria. I have to go through there. And they said, well, Lord, we have another route. Everyone takes the other route. Why are you going directly through? And he says, I have a purpose. I have meat to eat, you know, not of. I have a purpose there. And he sends Philip anyways through there into Samaria. But notice, as we begin, let me jump into this. Number one, the action is started and carried out by men and women like you and like me. We know that. There's men and women. Notice, there is no real names given. It says all of them were spread abroad except the apostles. And I like Jesus. He's no respecter of persons, but he doesn't put names on people, does he? He doesn't say, well, he did this and she did that in particular. There's always this emphasis of really doing the service and work for Jesus Christ without trying to get any attention, without trying to get your name noticed. But action is started. It's carried out. It says they were scattered abroad except the apostles, just normal people. Isn't it interesting that God didn't in particular, or Jesus didn't send out just the apostles? Wouldn't that be fitting? They were the ones that knew the word. They were the ones that were faithful to Christ. They were the ones that Jesus taught personally. Yeah, you're not ready yet. We're going to send out the professionals. No. It says he actually kept the apostles at Jerusalem. Fellas, you stay back, right? I'm going to send out the workers. I'm going to send out the no-name people of you. I'm going to send out the people, the laymen that we use the term often of the church. But notice, it's carried out, just carried out. And they go abroad, it says. They went out everywhere, scattered abroad, everywhere. I like the quote that there's no ranks in the Lord's army. There's no ranks. And we said before, but there's a lot of people. There's a lot of little old ladies and you faithful mothers and others, right, that are going to have many crowns in heaven. And some great big name pastors and limelight people are going to take a back seat to those servants. God wants to use each one of us in his service. We know that. He wants to. He wants to show himself strong. You know, 2 Chronicles 16:9, a wonderful verse. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. What? And on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's looking for somebody he can use and send forth for his purpose and looking for those. What is it? Whose heart is perfect toward him. Right with him, complete, doing what God's asked him to do. Make ourselves available. Present ourselves to him. Notice, secondly, the midst of great trial and persecution. People are watching, and many are open to the gospel. So all of this is going on, and apparently everyone's knows what's going on. They're seeing what's happening around them. And in the midst of this, people are watching. You're put on a pedestal so often. You go through persecution and trial. You're put up. You don't want to be. You want to be left alone. You go through something hard or maybe the loss of a loved one or some kind of problem, or you're going through a debilitating disease and you want to be just left alone. But the funny thing is about life, you're put on a pedestal, aren't you? Everyone's concerned, want to pray about you, even the unbelievers. They may want to criticize you and other things. But it's an opportunity. And notice that God will send sometimes the persecution our way, even in our own lives, not to degrade us and put us down and keep us and stifle us and hurt our feelings and make us feel bad. No. He'll do it maybe, if you'll ask him. He's doing it to exalt you in some way so that you can, first of all, bring glory to his name. Now, let me think about all of this. God's doing his best work right now in my life. Do you believe that? His best work. If he has his best interests in mind all the time in my life, I have to understand that what comes my way, and as the church saw it, persecution, their greatest minister, he was their greatest young boy in the church, was Stephen. He was, he was a protege. He was just, he could preach. He was clean cut, everything. One of those kids in your church are going, he's going somewhere. And he gets his opportunity to stand up. They say, Stephen, you want to preach on Sunday night, brother? Well, sure, I'll do it. Well, he stands up and gives a hard message, doesn't he? Man, he lets it rip, tater chip type of thing. And then he goes at it. And what do? They pull him out and they kill him. That's not a good sign, is it? That's not something good for the church. And they're thinking, what in the world, Lord? We were doing everything you wanted us to do. But in the midst of that, they looked and said, you know what? God's doing something great. And he scattered them abroad. They left where they were living. They took their bags and moved to another city. All the hard and harsh things that we think about having to do. But David puts it so clearly, and he says, who am I that I should be king? Who am I? Who am I? I'm a nobody. David, see, had the right heart, we know. Saul started out well, as you know, but it says he got puffed up. And Jesus, the Lord, had to take it away from him. He was called a man after God's own heart, we know. He was looking for God's way, God's will in his life, and no matter what came. Now, as we think about this, the heart of missions, going forth, number one, in the midst of persecution by people like us, normal people, and looking through it. Number two, though, the action. It's all about correcting beliefs. Now, thinking about this, as we go forth, what's our heart? We're trying to reach people with the gospel, share with them the word of God. And there's people that believe what we believe, but there's certain things they disagree with. I talked to a gentleman last week about that a little bit, and he's right down the line with us, but in one area, he believes differently. And we're trying to go out and reach people with the gospel, one, but also correct beliefs, bringing them back to the Word of God. Do you believe? Now, just to highlight here, Philip goes down, and notice verse 12 it is, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. What did Philip do? He went forth and he preached Jesus and corrected people's beliefs or their set of beliefs. And he said, this is what we're doing. The heart of missions is going forth and proclaiming the name of Christ, the gospel, but also then, as Jesus emphasized, not only baptize them, but then teach them. A lot of people have a wonderful evangelistic heart. They go out and share the gospel, see people saved, get them baptized, but that's it. And a lot of churches today, I was stuck in this for many years, immaturity, not ever growing, not ever maturing, not ever 2 Timothy 2, discipling other people, and that they can reach other people, and that they can reach the other people down the line. Now notice, he shares the gospel, but he teaches also. He teaches them. He directs them. He shows them. Now later, this man, in particular, of the Ethiopian eunuch, he makes a statement and says, how can I, except some man should guide me? He says, I know, I read, and I believe this, and but I need someone to direct me and help me understand the scriptures. The heart of missions is sharing the gospel, but it's also directing people to the truth, to the Word, to the Jesus of the Bible. We see a confused people. They were confused. This first character of Simon was extremely confused. He went down, Philip. Notice verse 9, but there's a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. Now again, sorcery, the Greek word pharma, has to do with drug use. Again, he was using drugs and illicit things to bewitch the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. I mean, this guy would literally come to town. He would, I don't know what he did, maybe he stood on a platform or something, and he handed out illicit drugs and other things. And they would partake in these things, or he'd say, here, take this special elixir, you know, oh, grandpa's medicine. And they'd take a drink of it or take some kind of medicine, and they'd start hallucinating. And they'd go, whoa, man, he's a great God. He's the power of God. I saw visions and other things. I saw these things happen, and they were deceived by this man. They were confused, many people today. They're trying to do what's right, but according, as we said, to the wrong standard. The book of Judges, doing right, but according to the wrong standard. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I'm just trying to do right. I'm just trying to live right. The number one answer you'll get sharing the gospel with people is this: I think I've lived a good life, I'm a good person, and God will accept me one day, right? My good will outweigh my bad. I believe that. Well, they're confused. They're going the right path. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be moral and pure and help my and support my family and work hard. But they're going wrong according to the wrong standard. And many people like that today. Many people. They're confused people. We see a cheap imitation of the power of God in verse 9, giving out that himself was some great one. This man is the great power of God, a cheap imitation today. I think that the reason people fail in life is because they fail in the Bible. They don't know the Bible. They fail to read and heed, so they fail in life. And they come to a cheap imitation of church and a cheap imitation. Do you got a big band and you got all these great activities at the church? And you no. Preaching the Bible. They fail, and it's a shallow preaching. It's a shallow ministry that a lot of people have, I believe that, because they're not following the Word of God. It's a cheap imitation. He used some type of performance, you know that. He used some type of illicit drugs and other things to confuse the people. I heard about the guy that came to America. He was from China, back in the 17th century. And he had gunpowder, and he used, as they did, the fireworks and firecrackers. And he came, and he went to a small country town, and he showed him this, and he said, "I am the great, whatever my name is, you need to follow me," this and that. And they said, "Well, we'll see." And he, sure enough, he lit off those firecrackers. Ba-boom, boom, 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 all these things, and all the smoke came up, and the red lights, and he had different colored ones, and they sure enough fell down. Oh, you are the great one. You are. How foolish we can be. And very simple illustration there, but we can be deceived and duped if we don't follow this word. Even good, meaning Christians today, our loved ones, many of our loved ones, I think they're very deceived. They think they know the word. They think they're saved. Sadly, they're not. They're not saved. We need to work to try and get them to the word of God. Let me move ahead. The cheap imitation. We know that. We must come back, and I already said that. Number three, the action is then confirmed by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's confirmed. Now, Philip goes on and he preaches and he reaches these people. Simon himself believed. He was baptized. And all these things going on. And notice verse 17, then laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power. I want this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me." Boy, Peter's letting him have it. He says, let me have some of that. If I touch anyone, I want that power. Peter says, "You don't know what you're talking about." Now, Peter was rebuked by Jesus in the same manner, as you recall. And in particular, James and John, you know, their mother came and said, "Would you let them have the seat next to you in heaven?" And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You're asking something you don't know about." And you think about it, this man is saying, "I want this so that I can again make money." Notice what Peter says, "Thy money perish with thee." You're in it, Simon, for the money. There's a lot of people today reaching other people with the gospel or attempting to, going out and ministering other things for what? Filthy lucre's sake. Paul puts it to Timothy. Be careful about the filthy lucre. Be careful. It will drive you and destroy you, as he clearly lays out in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But we see here, again, it's confirmed by the Holy Ghost. Confirmed. We know that as we go forth, we cannot do that. Why would God take vessels like us, fallible people, sinful people, weak people? You folks are very smart and talented. But when you think about it, a holy, almighty God would use us to propagate His truth? Why would He do that? We don't know why. But He's chosen to do that, as Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians. He says He's chosen us to go forth and propagate. Stop questioning your talent. Stop questioning who you are. "I'm not good enough. I'm not smart. I can't do it. I don't speak well to people." Put that all aside and say, "God, through the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, you direct and lead me. You help me to fulfill your commission, your will." We see the Spirit confirming. The Spirit will always confirm true disciples of Christ, always. You can tell if a person is saved, again, as we talked about in James chapter 2 on Wednesday night. But you can truly, if you're saved, you almost have this, I don't know what it is, a radar, something in the back of your head. You go, they're saved, yeah. And then you go, "I don't know if they're saved." There's something there, right? The Holy Spirit is working. Now, often we can be wrong, but usually, if we're right with God, walking in the Spirit, the Spirit's confirming. He will confirm the true disciples. Number two, He'll confirm your work is the work of God. Notice that. He'll confirm it. People go out and preach the gospel and other things, He'll confirm it. If it's truly the work of God, God says, "I have sent it." Remember in Jeremiah, He says, "Your prophets and preachers and pastors have went and said, thus saith the Lord." And Jesus, or God Himself, says, "I did not say that." They're lying prophets. They're lying people. And then they preach this, "Peace, peace, peace." And God says, "When there is no peace." Doesn't that sound like a lot of preachers today? "Everything will be just fine, you know. You'll be fine. I hope you have a good week this week. God wants to bless your life. You keep living the life you're living. No sacrifice, no submission to God, no crucifixion, no cross. It's all about self-motivation. And so you think, they're confirming the work. He'll separate the imitators from the true followers. He'll separate the imitators. There was Simon, there was Philip. There's a separation. And then later Peter comes and gives that rebuke. But we see next the Spirit is speaking. The Spirit speaking. Now go to verse 29. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go near. Philip ran thither, notice, immediately to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, said, and understandest what thou readest. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, he'd come up, sit with him. And the place of the scripture which you read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. He goes on and tells him, and Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him, what? Jesus. Jesus. Same scripture. I'd often read that verse 35 and wondered why they put just Jesus and not Jesus Christ. And I thought, boy, the translators may have messed up there. They should have put Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. But you think about the context of it, though. And I think they truly got it right on this one. Jesus. Isaiah 53 does not talk about Jesus the Christ, does it? Isaiah 53 talks about Jesus the man. He's a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, right? He's talking about the humility of the man, Jesus Christ, and what he went through. And I truly believe the translators got it right on this one. They talk, and he says, he preached unto him Jesus, the man, Yeshua. And so thinking through here, now, the action is about correcting the beliefs. The action is confirmed by the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit confirms and the Spirit speaks. The Holy Ghost will guide us to those truths we are seeking. He will guide those truly seeking the truth. You remember back when you first got saved or right with God, or even before you got saved, you were seeking some kind of truth. Lord, I want the truth. I'm sick of the life I'm living. I'm sick of the loneliness and the emptiness and other things. And what happened? He began to direct your life. Now, we went through some of this in the past about the eunuch, but the eunuch was a very prominent man. It says he was the captain, he was the chief of verse 27. He was the head eunuch, the great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And at that time, you know, Ethiopia was a mighty kingdom. He was very obviously trustworthy. He had the charge of all her treasure. He was very trustworthy. He was a very business man, probably CEO type, trusted her. The queen trusted him with all the money, with everything. So he was not just Joe Blow. He was very wealthy and renowned. And he says, I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. I am reading it, but I don't get it. See, you notice he had religion, but not relationship. So many people have that today. They have religion. Oh, I believe. They have no relationship. And they're missing out. What is so sad to me, people are missing out in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. They're missing out. They think they go to the church and they go to the priest and do these things and they give enough money, everything will get them out of purgatory and they'll be just right. If they don't have the being slain in the Spirit, they don't have the... No, they're missing the truth of a relationship with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. Now let me finish up here. The people are looking for truth. People are looking. You say, not today. Yeah, they still are. They're looking for something. We're not trying to shove it down their throat and force it. We're trying to live a life they see different. And we share the gospel with them. We're not intimidated in that way, but focused on Christ. We see the Spirit then directing. Not only confirming and speaking, but the Spirit directing. As we looked at a few, probably about a month ago, what the Holy Spirit does and who this Holy Spirit is, we see that He is directing. He will speak. Now, again, not audibly today. We must confirm and clarify that. He does not, no longer in the age we live in, the age we call it the age of grace, the church age, speak to us audibly. He speaks to us, Hebrews 1, through the Word. He's directing. Good. God will continue to direct us as long as we obey the Spirit. One step at a time. God knows we can handle and what we can't handle. He told Paul, arise, go into the city. I'll tell you what to do from there. Didn't give him the whole enchilada up front, did he? He couldn't be able to handle it. Wouldn't be able to. He went in. He told Philip, why don't you get up and go over there and share with him the truth? He said, okay, right away. He went over and did it. One step at a time. the directing of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we think in big numbers and big grand things, sometimes it's not the Holy Spirit. It's us, isn't it? Oh, I want to do that. And that'd be great, isn't that? Sometimes the small little steps, we go, Lord, that's kind of minuscule. I don't have time for that. That's the Holy Spirit. And He's doing it small steps. Okay, I'll wrap it up here. As you think about, I love the song, Set My Soul Afire. You remember that song. It says, Set my soul afire, Lord, for Thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let Thy voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for Thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Millions grope, aren't they? Like people in the dark, just groping, looking for a wall, looking for something. And if we can punch a hole in the darkness to let them see some light, He says, help us to spread that word. Missions is much more than maybe a video presentation, much more than giving, making a commitment or something of that nature. It's seeing the urgency to get the gospel out. These men saw it. The church, the early church, was spread abroad, and they said, well, we're spread abroad. We know exactly what to do. Philip goes, and he says, I know exactly what to do. Reaching others, giving them the truth, sharing the gospel, correcting their beliefs, and reaching on, and teaching them, then later, to disciple others. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what this Ethiopian eunuch did after, but we know clearly he went back to Ethiopia. Church history tells us that there was a church started in Ethiopia. In fact, there's still a church there today that they believe this man went and started. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I thought that was a pretty cool story. There's still a church today, and you go there, there's many missionaries to Ethiopia. But this man didn't go back and say, oh, thank God I got saved from hell and I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'm good to go. No, he said, you know what? My dad and mom, my sisters, Candace, the queen, she needs to be saved. I need to share the gospel. I need to reach people. And he went forth with that mentality of reaching the people around him. Each one, reach one for the glory of God. All right. I hope you're encouraged with that. But pray this month in particular about missions and just in particular about those around the world, reaching the lost around them and their little circle of influence as we are doing right here. And again, don't forget, we're on our own mission field, aren't we here? This is our town God's given to us. We need to be reaching it and praying that God will use us in a great way. Okay. All righty. Well, thank you for coming this morning and for listening. May God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here this evening. All right. Lord, thank you for an opportunity again to share your word. Just looking through scripture, Lord, and Acts chapter 8 is so full and we could spend much time here as we think about all that's done, all that was happening. These people were not weak people. They were strong. They were faithful. They needed a little bit of a emphasis, a little bit of a help getting up off the couch and getting out. You allowed some persecution to come. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Because of that, we see a man by the name of Simon and a man by the name of, we don't have a name, of Ethiopian eunuch, reached with the gospel. And both these people, these men, went forth and reached other people as well. Help us to do our part. Obey your commission. Go forth. And just all the time, everywhere, trying to reach others. We thank you, Lord, and love you. And be with, Lord, our missionaries around the world. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.